Please turn with me back to Matthew 25, from where we read earlier. And our text this morning is verse 41. Then shall he, the king, say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And the title for our message this morning is Depart from Me. And I'm very sorry, friends, the word which was laid on my heart is quite a somber one this morning, but I trust that the Lord would bless us all as we consider these things. And the first heading for us this morning is The Worst Words. The Worst Words. And these words, Depart from Me, they are probably the worst words in all existence. And the moment they get pronounced, the moment they get spoken, that will be that. It will be final. It will be unchangeable. And when they get spoken, as they get spoken, there will be this very clear realization, and all the horror and the solemnity of those words will hit the people who hear these words with the deepest force. And these people, they will suddenly see very, very clearly all the things which before they thought that they struggled to see. I can't see this. I can't understand. It's not clear. All of a sudden, all that confusion, all the things which are unclear, suddenly they become totally clear. They will see that Jesus of Nazareth, he truly is Lord. They will see that he was and he is the Messiah, the only Savior for all mankind. He will be there before their eyes in all of his divine glory, having slowly descended from the clouds with 10,000 times 10,000 angels with him, holy angels, and also with all the true believers. They will also descend with him down to the judgment seat. And every objection which people had, every reason which they said, this is why I'm going to delay. This is why I don't need to take this Christian faith very seriously. All of those reasons, they will melt. They will vanish. They will seem so worthless as he is descending and as he is there before their eyes. All of a sudden, all these things will be so clear. And when he speaks these words, these will be the very worst words, the worst thing possibly to ever hear. What do they mean? What do the words mean? Depart from me. And in themselves, if somebody says to you, depart from me, it doesn't really mean anything. It doesn't say anything. Oh, depart from me. What is this you are saying? But it is the person who is speaking these things. It is the eternal God. He has revealed himself, the Lord of heaven, the source of all life. All of a sudden, these words, depart from me, they take on this momentous significance. Depart from me. Depart from all that I am, all that I do, all that I bring into this world, depart from that. Depart from me who is the Lord of glory. All my majesty, all my brightness, all my excellence, all my wisdom, all my omnipotence forever. These things will be away from you. You will never again enjoy the blessing and the privilege of these things over your life. The scripture says in one place, they shall never see light. They shall never see light. And this speaks of natural light. The place where they go will be a place of pitch darkness. But it also means light in a metaphorical sense. Everything which is good and pleasant and beneficial, they shall never have anything beneficial, nothing at all. Nothing at all beneficial in your life. Depart from me, I am the Lord of glory, depart. He also says, depart from me, I am the Holy One. In this world, in this life, when we speak about holiness, people laugh and they joke, holiness, ha ha, who cares about that? It's so boring, it's so severe, it's so old-fashioned. But at that moment, it'll be so clear. Holiness. Holiness is loveliness. Holiness is truthfulness. Holiness is strength. Holiness is reliability, faithfulness. Every lady in this world, young or old, wants to be known as lovely. Every man in this world, even criminals, they want to be known as good and faithful. But these virtues, holiness, all the loveliness, truthfulness, strength, reliability, they will be forever gone. Depart from me, the Holy One. He also says, depart from me, the King. And some people talk about Satan being the king of hell. And that's not true, actually, because he will just be an arrested rebel, just like everybody else. There will be no king in hell. And human beings, our human nature, we all gravitate towards a leader. We need a king because a king means a kingdom, and a kingdom means we have a place. I belong somewhere. I'm part of a people. I'm not just floating about. I belong to a certain tribe or people. I have a base. I belong to something. I'm not just drifting on the sea, going nowhere. Depart from me, the King, means you will have no place. You will just be floating about. The word I think about is desolation. You will be desolate. Depart from me. I think these are, if not the worst words in Scripture, they are amongst the worst words in Scripture. Can you imagine? Can you think of anything worse to hear? And the stakes are so high. The stakes. We use the word stakes when we're thinking about gambling. I gamble, I wager. Does God really exist? I gamble and I wager. Will God really punish sinners in this way? I gamble and I wager. I hope. The stakes are so high, but I'm going to place some bets. Maybe I can repent later. I don't need to repent now. I can repent later, after a few years. And all the Bible commentators, when they speak about this verse, our verse 41, they say that in the previous section, the Lord Jesus Christ gives several parables. He gives the parables of the 10 virgins. He gives the parable of the servants. and the talents. But here, he stops giving parables. He stops giving illustrations. And he speaks very plainly, very directly, just very straightforward. This is as direct as he could be. So what a gamble. What a gamble. These straightforward words, not to take them seriously. And this is from the one who is faithful and true. That's one of his names. Faithful and true. I speak true. I speak right. I speak plainly. And these words, these tremendous words, it's the timing. It's the timing of when these words will be spoken. If they were spoken at some point in the middle of my life, I could say, oh, I made a mistake. Sorry about that. I'm going to fix up. I'll sort it out. But they're spoken at the end. They're spoken at the end. They have spoken. He has already descended. The judgment proceedings are happening. It's now heaven or hell. It is final. There is no change. And he says, depart from me. You will never again experience any of my goodness or of my blessings. You will only have desolation and wrath and judgment. What is the worst thing which has ever been said to you? What is the worst thing which has ever been said to you? I remember once somebody called me a loser, and I felt it so, I'm not a loser. It doesn't compare. It doesn't compare. If somebody says to you, I hate you, ooh, that's bad. That's really bad. I'm going to kill you. But depart from me. These are the worst words which anyone could ever hear. A next thought for us is, Christ doesn't say these words in a harsh way. When he's speaking them here 2,000 years ago, he's saying these words as an appeal. He's actually appealing to souls. He's crying out to souls and saying, you need to take these seriously. You need to repent. He really doesn't want you to end up in this place. Notice what he says about this state of being departed from him. He says that this departing, this judgment, it was prepared for the devil and his angels. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. It was prepared for the devil. It wasn't prepared for you. The Satan and his angels, his fallen angels, they were never going to be given the chance to repent. They were never going to be given the chance to turn to Christ and to have thy sins forgiven. But you have that chance. You have that opportunity. The gospel has been laid forth before you. You don't have to go there. It was prepared for them. But you will not listen. You will not heed. You will play and you will dilly-dally. This everlasting fire, this terrible place, this desolation, it was prepared for them. How we spend our lives, how we heed or we don't heed the gospel, will determine where we go. Of course, the Lord knows the beginning from the end. He knows all things. He knows where you're going to go. But we are living in time. We are working out our salvation, in a sense, day by day, minute by minute. Will I go up? Will I go down? And Christ says, avoid, avoid, avoid this terrible place. Again, sorry, friends, to speak in such a solemn word. You look at this, the words, depart from me, ye cursed. into everlasting fire. I wasn't going to open these up and what they mean and what they imply, but suffice it to say, it is clear and evident. Look at what the Lord is saying. It is clear and evident that they are speaking of wrath. They are speaking of divine wrath. The Lord is angry with the wicked. God is not ambivalent. God is not nonchalant. God is not easygoing when we choose to rebel against him. We know that the Lord is very gracious, and we think that if I rebel a little bit, it's not going to be that bad. He's very forgiving. He's very gracious. He's going to, if I just turn, but these are strong words. They indicate the wrath of God. And you could think about going to some great museum or art gallery and you see some tremendous sculpture or artwork. Ah, this is rubbish. I could do that. It's such an insult. And we do that every day. We look at the Lord's wonderful creation. Ah, evolution, it just came together. Just a few chemicals mushing around. We insult the Lord so greatly, and we deserve his wrath. I used to work in the construction industry. I used to build bridges and railway stations. And something I used to say is that nobody who works in construction should believe in evolution. Whenever we finish a building or a bridge or whatever it is, we get to the end of the project and we sign it all off and we have the opening day. But then afterwards, we have a period called snagging. Snagging. And snagging is when you go around the job and you have a long list of things which are wrong. This cable doesn't work. This wall is not straight. This window needs to be wider. The ventilation system is not working properly. And we've opened the building. We've celebrated. They've given us some of our money. And we write in the newspapers, yes, building finished, bridge installed. But we spend weeks. Sometimes there was a project. I came back, I think it was 2 or 3 years afterwards, to finish it, a bridge. And the railway track wasn't quite right. Snagging. Perfection is not achieved in this world. It is not achieved in this life. But God achieves perfection everywhere throughout nature. And then we insult him and say, ah, I believe in evolution. And when we finished the job and there was a lot of snagging, it cost us money. The client didn't give us more money to finish the job properly. So the senior managers would be shouting at us, finish that job. It would generate wrath. We're losing money. We built a bridge, £2 million, but we're spending £2.5 million to fix it, to get it right. The railway track is bouncing. The trains are not safe. How about if the train comes off the track? Whose fault is it going to be? The managers who had wrath against us, finish that job properly. We're losing money. There's safety issues. And so, of course, there will be divine wrath against us. When we have been insulting the Lord, he has given us so many privileges, he has done so much for us, and we say, I'm not going to take him seriously. I'm going to delay with repentance. I don't believe. I'm not going to take this God seriously. And so these words, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. As I said, I don't want to go into these words. They're very heavy. But the thought which captured my mind in the preparation was this idea of desolation. Desolation. Depart from me. Speaks about desolation. Desolation is utter abandonment. Utter abandonment. You are going to go into a state of being perpetually, forever, utterly abandoned. And I was thinking of different illustrations. I'm sure we've all seen it. You've seen a child in a playground or in a shopping center somewhere, and they've lost their mother, or they've lost their parent, And this child is distraught. They're bawling their eyes. They can't see their parents. That's a small picture of desolation. I'm abandoned. I have no one. I have nothing. I'm lost. I'm unsafe. And to just feel that constantly, forever. The Lord Jesus says, this place was not prepared for us. It was not intended for us. There is a way of escape. We don't have to go there, but we have to choose. Will I turn to Him? Or will I follow the world? The way of escape. What is the way of escape? And some people, if they read these verses, they might get confused, because the Lord Jesus, He seems to bless the people who escape because they did righteous things. He says, oh, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was naked and you clothed me and you visited me in prison. And they say, oh, if I do these good things, will I escape? Is it because I've done these good things that I escape this terrible judgment? And we have to read very carefully. We have to read very carefully, because that is called righteousness by works. Do I have righteousness before God? Do I please God by my works, by the things I do, by my Christian service, and so on? But when you read carefully, you realize that those people who are sheep, they are blessed already. They are blessed already, and all that they do is a token of love and gratitude to the Lord. And the people who are goats, they are cursed already. And everything they don't do just gets counted against them. If we just look carefully, I'll just read verse 40 and then verse 45. And the king shall say and answer to them on the right hand, these are the sheep, he says, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So they are measured by the things they have done. But you go to verse 45, speaking to the goats, then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. So there's two different measures. These people are being assessed by two different rules. What's going on? Isn't God fair? We thought He's a holy God. How come these two people are being measured by two different systems? And we say, ah, the answer is, as I said, it's about being a sheep or a goat in the first place. And in the scriptures, a sheep is humble. A sheep is submissive. A sheep is thankful. But a goat is self-confident, strident. I know what I'm doing. I trust myself. I trust my wisdom. I trust my intelligence. I trust my goodness. I'm a good person, didn't you know? And a goat speaks in that way. And that's the difference between these two groups. The sheeps are graciously blessed. Everything they do is praise. They get a commendation from the Lord. But the goats, everything they miss to do, you miss one little thing. Imagine that. You walk past somebody in the street. You didn't notice there was a beggar. And you just walk past, you're busy, you're on your way to work or school or something. And you didn't do that. And straight away, it's marked against you. You missed to do kindness. You missed to do graciousness. Every small thing, it counts against you. These are how the goats are measured. How do I become a sheep? I need to listen to this gospel call. I need to listen to God's word. When God, the Holy One, calls on me to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, I listen. I take it seriously. When He says, you have many sins, I don't say, no, I don't. I say, oh, yes. And I pray for more light. I pray for more understanding. So many sins I do have. And then I pray, when I repent, Not just a quick, oh, Lord, please forgive. I pray from the bottom of my heart. I cry out. I can see. When I think about it, I think, wow, so many sins. A dark heart. So many evil in me. Oh, yes. I need a savior. I can never make it to heaven. How am I going to make it to heaven when I have so many sins? The goat says, I'm not that bad. I just do a few things here and there. What are you talking? The sheep says, oh, no. I need that savior. I need that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to wash me clean from all of my sins. I need that free mercy, that free salvation. I can see that this world, it's like tinsel. It's bright, it's sparkly, but it's nothing. It's light. It's glitzy, but it's going to lead me to desolation. It's going to lead me to everlasting loss. The sheep is humble. It accepts God's words, God's condemnation. I am a sinner. I need a savior. I need to turn to him in repentance and faith. The goat thinks it knows better, and then it gets that strict judgment. You want to be righteous in your own works? You want to please God by your goodness? Okay. The least thing you admit will be counted against you. That's the measure you want? If you will not have grace, the full measure of the law has to be applied against you. We come to closing. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. As I said, these are the worst words. They're the worst words for any to hear. But the more worse thing about this scene is that we said it first to the Lord. We said it first to the Lord. The Lord Jesus doesn't just turn up and then just say, oh, depart from me. We said it first. You said it first if you haven't turned to him in repentance and faith. And you have said it first daily. Every day, depart from me, depart from me, depart from me. You said it first. That's the worst thing about this situation. And you've been saying it lifelong. Depart from me, Lord. Depart from me. And he has been so welcoming. He has been trying to receive you. He has been prodding your heart here and there, sending different situations, encouragements. Come to me. I will bless you. I will save you. I will receive you. Depart from me. I said it yesterday and I say it again. We sang in our hymn, just our third hymn, the fourth verse says, the door of mercy stands open all day to souls poor and needy who knock by the way. No one is rejected of all those who came, appealing for mercy in Jesus' dear name. The way you live your life, and the way you walk about, that is your response to Christ. That is how you speak to the Lord Jesus. What are you saying to the Lord Jesus today? What are you saying? When he suddenly comes back, it will be the end of all things. And we pray, so many of us in this church, we pray earnestly that the words you hear on that day will not be, depart from me. Now let's have a brief word of prayer. Gracious Lord and loving Heavenly Father, we do praise and worship Thee, O Lord. Thou art the Holy One, but Thou art also the gracious God. Thou art the God of truth, the God that cares for souls, the God that wants to bless every soul with eternal and everlasting blessings. We pray earnestly, O Lord, for forgiveness and for mercy. All of us have said unto thee so many times, depart from me, I don't want your ways. But we pray, dear and gracious Lord, that thou would move in every heart and grant us all to say unto thee, O Lord, that we desire thy Savior, we desire the Lord Jesus Christ, his forgiveness and all of his mercies and blessings in our hearts and lives. We are ready to leave the world and all these things behind. We are ready to submit unto thee, because thou art the merciful and the gracious, the wonderful God. We pray earnestly for every soul in this place, and we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.